Welcome to a new episode of BFRR, our Bitcoin, Fiat, and Rock'n'Roll podcast that explores the intersection of traditional finance, digital assets, and digital currencies, and helps you understand how digital money and assets will evolve in the future. I'm Michael Blaschke, and in today's episode, we're talking about a technological advancement that has the potential to reshape TradFi and digital assets alike, quantum computing. You know, it's fascinating. Just as we're getting used to the changes brought by AI, another frontier technology is emerging that has transformative potential. At the Ferry Cognitive Finance Institute, I've been studying quantum computing since 2019, and my latest research, published end of 2024, reveals some startling insights about its impact on TradFi and digital assets. The timing of this study couldn't be better. Two major developments have just highlighted its relevance. Google's announcement of their Willow quantum chip with over 100 qubits and Vitalik Buterin's detailed roadmap for making Ethereum quantum resistant. These aren't just technical achievements. They're early signals of a fundamental shift in how we'll handle money, assets, and security in the digital age. Let me share a striking figure from our research. By 2035, we're looking at a quantum computing market worth between 28 and 72 billion euros, with the potential to create about 2 trillion euros in economic value. But here's what makes this really interesting and somewhat concerning. The same technology that could innovate portfolio management and risk assessment could also break most of today's encryption systems. Think of quantum computing this way. If classical computing is like solving a maze by trying one path at a time, quantum computing is like being able to see all possible paths simultaneously. Another example, imagine trying to solve a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. A classical computer would try each piece one at a time. A quantum computer, however, can try multiple combinations simultaneously. This power could help banks analyze risk scenarios in seconds instead of years. But it could also crack the cryptographic systems that secure our digital assets. In today's episode, we'll dive deep into these developments, drawing from my comprehensive study that examines both the opportunities and challenges of quantum. Whether you're an investor, a financial professional, or just curious about the future of money, you'll want to stay tuned. Let's start by understanding exactly what makes quantum computing so special and why Google's recent Willow announcement has gotten both the traditional finance and crypto communities' attention. Before we dive in, however, let me outline the key areas we'll cover today, which align with the comprehensive analysis I conducted in the Ferry study. First, we'll examine Google's Willow computing chip and what makes it such a breakthrough. Then, we'll compare quantum computing with classical computing to understand why this shift is so fundamental. Third, we'll explore how quantum computers could theoretically break current cryptographic systems, a crucial concern for anyone involved in digital assets. Fourth, we'll look at Bitcoin's current defense mechanisms and whether they can withstand quantum attacks. Fifth, we'll discuss how the crypto community and cryptographers are responding to these challenges, including Vitalik Buterin's innovative proposals for Ethereum. Finally, I'll analyze what's really at stake here, the potential implications of these quantum breakthroughs for the entire financial ecosystem. It's a lot to cover, but I promise it'll be worth your time. Let's start with Google's Willow chip, which has been making headlines. So, what is Google's Willow quantum chip? This chip marks a new era in quantum performance, enabling complex computations with implications for various industries, including, predominantly for our interest, cryptography. Quantum computing has reached a critical milestone with Google's unveiling of the 105-qubit Willow chip, building on the company's groundbreaking Sycamore processor from 2019. Willow represents a significant leap in quantum performance and scalability, promising advancements across industries ranging from medicine to cryptography. Let me give you an overview of Willow's specifications. First, it's 105 qubits. So Willow nearly doubles the qubit count of Sycamore, unlocking the ability to tackle exponentially more complex computation. Each qubit in Willow is designed to operate with improved coherence times, minimizing quantum noise and enhancing computational stability. Then there are error correction breakthroughs. One of Willow's most notable advancements is its progress in quantum error correction, a critical step towards scalable, fault-tolerant quantum systems. Google's researchers report that Willow achieves logical qubit lifetimes longer than the physical qubits, showcasing its potential for sustained performance. And then there is speed and power. In benchmarks like random circuit sampling, a test where a quantum computer proves its power by solving complex problems, Willow completed tasks in minutes that would take classical supercomputers billions of years. Such breakthroughs highlight the chip's ability to outperform classical systems in specific problem domains. Sundar Pichai posted an interesting post on December 9, 2024. He wrote, "Introducing Willow, our new state-of-the-art quantum computing chip with a breakthrough that can reduce errors exponentially as we scale up using more qubits, cracking a 30-year challenge in the field. In benchmark tests, Willow solved a standard computation in smaller than 5 minutes that would take a leading supercomputer over 10 to the power of 25 years, far beyond the age of the universe." End of quote. All right. Now let's move on to the second block, in which I compare quantum computing with classical computing. The fundamental difference between quantum and classical computing lies in how information is processed. Let's understand the differences in a bit more detail. Let's start with classical computing. It operates using binary bits, zeros and ones, to perform computations sequentially. Even the fastest classical supercomputers solve problems through this linear progression. And then in turn, there is quantum computing. It uses qubits, which can exist in a state of superposition. That is, they are both zero and one simultaneously. When qubits become entangled, they influence one another instantaneously, enabling the system to process multiple computations in parallel. This parallelism allows quantum computers to excel in specialized tasks such as optimization problems, molecular simulations, and cryptographic testing, where classical systems fall short due to their linear constraints. Real-world examples of Willow's computational power include drug discovery and material science, climate modeling, and optimization problems. Regarding optimization problems, Willow's capabilities extend to solving logistical challenges such as supply chain optimization and financial modeling, significantly reducing time to solution compared to classical methods. The unveiling of Willow not only highlights quantum computing's progress, but also underscores its potential to address challenges previously deemed insurmountable. Okay, let's now turn to the core of our community and the question we now all have in mind. How quantum computers could theoretically break cryptographic algorithms, including those used in contemporary blockchain technology. Quantum computers using algorithms like Shor's and Grover's have the potential to undermine traditional cryptographic algorithms by solving complex problems exponentially faster. The introduction of powerful quantum computers like Willow has sparked concerns about the implications for cryptographic security, including Willow chip's impact on cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin and many other blockchain systems rely on cryptographic algorithms designed to be secure against classical attacks. However, quantum computing has raised concerns about its potential impact on cryptographic security. Let's restate the importance of public and private keys in Bitcoin security, for example. Bitcoin security is built on elliptic curve cryptography, or ECC, specifically the elliptic curve digital signature algorithm, ECDSA. Raising concerns in the context of quantum chip versus Bitcoin security. The relationship between public and private key is crucial here in our context. Public key, of course, as you know, is shared openly as the address for receiving Bitcoin. Private keys, in turn, are kept secret and used to sign transaction, prove ownership, and authorize movements of funds. The security premise behind ECDSA, or elliptic curve digital signature algorithm, lies in the elliptic curve discrete logarithm problem, or called ECDLP, which is computationally infeasible for classical computers to solve. Without access to a user's private key, forging a valid signature or accessing funds becomes virtually impossible. So now, how do quantum all algorithms threaten cryptography? Quantum computers could potentially undermine the security framework I just outlined. Two quantum algorithms highlight the risk. First, there is Shor's algorithm. It can break cryptographic systems like the outlined ECC by quickly solving problems like integer factorization, allowing private keys to be derived from public keys. And then another example is Grover's algorithm. It provides a quadratic speedup for brute forcing hash functions. In Bitcoin's case, this would reduce the effective strength of SHA-256, which is used in its proof-of-work consensus, from 256 bits to 128 bits. While this remains secure by today's standards, it underscores the potential vulnerabilities in other systems with weaker hash functions. Let's maybe take a look at the quantum power required to actually really break Bitcoin. Breaking Bitcoin's cryptographic defenses is far beyond the capabilities of today's quantum computers, including Willow. According to research published in Ledger Journal, which you of course will find in the show notes, there's an interesting finding. First, about the logical qubits needed. At least 1,500 to 3,000 fault-tolerant logical qubits would be required to run Shor's algorithm effectively to then ultimately break Bitcoin. The second finding is about the physical qubits required. Given current error rates, this translates to tens of millions of physical qubits accounting for error correction. So today's systems are still in the noisy intermediate scale quantum phase. This is also referred to as NISQ phase, a term introduced by American theoretical physicist John Preskill, where errors and instability restrict their practical applications. Okay, so the good news is we haven't reached a point where Bitcoin can be broken. Nevertheless, we need to think about how exactly Bitcoin's current defense mechanisms work and whether Willow will pose a threat to Bitcoin at some point. So let's move on to the fourth section, Bitcoin's current defense mechanisms against hacks and against quantum. Bitcoin security lies on advanced cryptographic algorithms designed to resist classical attacks, ensuring robust protection for transactions and the blockchain network. Bitcoin's cryptographic design makes it one of the most secure decentralized systems. Its defenses rely on robust algorithms that are computationally infeasible to break using classic computing. Let's examine the key safeguards and whether Google's Willow quantum chip poses any tangible threat to them. So, as said, there is EDSA, ECDSA, and SHA-256. These are the two core constituents of Bitcoin security. So, as discussed above, Bitcoin's transaction system depends on the ECDSA for generating and verifying digital signatures. In addition, Bitcoin's proof-of-work consensus mechanism uses SHA-256, a cryptographic hash function, to secure the blockchain. Miners solve a computational puzzle involving SHA-256 to add new blocks to the blockchain. And the hash function is designed to be irreversible, meaning it is computationally infeasible to reverse engineer input data from its hash output. Bitcoin's 250-bit elliptic curve cryptography would require a quantum computer with 13 million qubits to break within a day, or 317 million qubits to do so in an hour. And now, in comparison, Google's Willow chip with 105 qubits only is a major breakthrough, don't get me wrong, but its qubit count is far below the threshold necessary to break Bitcoin's encryption. So, Bitcoin remains secure for now. So, does Willow pose a threat to Bitcoin? Well, no. Despite Google's Willow quantum chip making a significant milestone in quantum computing research with its 105 qubits, it currently poses no immediate threat to Bitcoin's cryptographic systems. Breaking Bitcoin's ECDSA or SHA-256 would require at least 1,500 to 3,000 fault-tolerant logical qubits, far exceeding Willow's capabilities. As previously mentioned, current quantum systems are not yet scalable enough to challenge Bitcoin's robust defenses. Bitcoin's layered cryptographic structure combining ECDSA and SHA-256 ensures resilience against today's quantum technologies. You could consider Willow in the NISQ phase, where errors and instability limit their practical applications. This technological gap keeps Bitcoin cryptographic safeguards secure for now. Okay, so we can remain positive. Bitcoin remains secure for now. But still, the crypto community does react, and crypto and cryptographers do respond to Willow. So let's now investigate the crypto community and cryptographers' response to Willow versus Bitcoin security. So recognizing the eventual threat posed by quantum computing, the cryptocurrency industry has already proactively begun researching and developing quantum-resisting cryptographic systems. There are first ongoing efforts in post-quantum cryptography. There is the U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST. It has been leading efforts to standardize post-quantum cryptographic algorithms. These algorithms are designed to resist both classical and quantum attacks. Final candidates include, for example, lattice-based cryptography. There are algorithms like Crystal's Dilithium and Kyber, both of which rely on lattice structures that remain secure against quantum attacks. And then there are hash-based signatures. These use cryptographic hashes, which are more resistant to quantum algorithms like Shor's or Grover's. Once finalized, these standards can be integrated into Bitcoin and other blockchain systems to future-proof their security. So, there is another stream of reactions coming from Vitalik Buterin and his proposal for Ethereum security. Vitalik Buterin, Ethereum's co-founder, has been vocal about preparing for quantum risks. His key proposals include Lamport signatures, so quantum-resistant one-time signature schemes that are easy to implement but require larger storage. And the second proposal is transition flexibility. Ethereum's modular structure allows it to adopt new cryptographic standards more quickly than Bitcoin. For example, Ethereum could integrate post-quantum algorithms via updates to its consensus mechanisms. Yeah, Buterin's proactive approach provides a blueprint for other blockchain projects. In a recent blog post, Buterin elaborated on the splurge, a crucial Ethereum roadmap aimed at fixing lingering problems with security, user experience, and scalability. It's part of a greater vision. This stage, the splurge, would make the blockchain safe from potential quantum computing attacks while making the blockchain more user-friendly for average users. The splurge is the accessory of Ethereum to proactively face the impetus of the latest technological developments like quantum computing. So through the quantum computers capable of breaking the current cryptographic standards exist more in theory, Buterin is seeking advanced cryptography to make Ethereum resistant to any quantum developments that may come in the next few decades. Of course, you find this blog post by Buterin in the show notes. But there's also broader industry research going on. Prominent cryptographers and researchers are contributing to the development of quantum resistant technologies. First, there's Adam Back. He is a pioneer in blockchain cryptography and has emphasized the importance of integrating post-quantum cryptography into Bitcoin's protocol without compromising its decentralized nature. But then there is also Bill Buchanan. His work in lattice-based cryptography and secure systems offers robust solutions for resisting quantum attacks. Many blockchain projects are also exploring hybrid models that combine existing cryptography with quantum-resistant algorithms to ensure a smooth transition when quantum computers become practically relevant. Okay, let's move to the sixth and final section, that is, what's at stake, the potential implications of quantum breakthroughs. Yeah, so as outlined, quantum breakthroughs could, in theory, in the future, impact blockchain security, risking compromised wallets and market instability while driving advancements in cryptographic defenses. The rise of quantum computing brings both quantum computing risks and opportunities alike to Bitcoin and the broader cryptocurrency ecosystem. Understanding these implications is crucial for us all. Let me outline some of these potential risks. One is compromised wallets. A fully scalable, fault-tolerant quantum computer could derive private keys from public keys, enabling unauthorized access to wallets. If this occurred, funds could be stolen, undermining trust in Bitcoin security. Another risk is network stability. The fear of quantum vulnerabilities could lead to market panic affecting Bitcoin's price and adoption. Historically, even perceived technical risks such as forks or protocol bugs can cause significant volatility in Bitcoin's price, a price that is already so volatile. And yet another class of risks is delayed consensus. If quantum attacks disrupt Bitcoin's proof-of-work mechanism, it could lead to slower transaction validation or network splits. In turn, beyond these potential risks, there are, of course, also positive developments, a characteristic of any frontier technology. While the risks are significant, the crypto industry's proactive stance and advancements in cryptographic defenses provide a positive outline. First, timeline favors crypto. So experts widely agree that cryptographically relevant quantum computers are at least 10 to 20 years away, giving the crypto community ample time to transition to quantum resistant standards. Then there are advancements in cryptography. So post-quantum algorithms are not static, but evolving rapidly. Researchers are confident that the pace of cryptographic innovation will outpace quantum advancements. And then there is a strengthened security posture. Integrating post-quantum cryptography into blockchain systems could make them more secure against both quantum and classical threats, addressing Bitcoin security, quantum threats, and reinforcing trust in decentralized finance, for example. Yeah, and then there is the market stability and opportunities. One is the transition planning. Projects that transparently outline their quantum transition strategy, like Ethereum, and in particular Buterin already do, may attract greater investor confidence. And then there is an innovation catalyst. So quantum breakthroughs could drive blockchain innovations such as quantum secure wallets and decentralized systems optimized for quantum environments, addressing the quantum chip's effect on blockchain. Finally, as cryptographically relevant quantum computers remain years away, the crypto industry has time to adapt, ensuring a stronger and more secure decentralized future. So, as we wrap up today's episode, let me highlight the key takeaways from both my theory study and what I've discussed in this BFRR episode. We're standing at a fascinating intersection of two technologies, quantum computing and blockchain. It's like watching two titans preparing to meet, one representing a possible future of computation, the other a possible future of finance. The study indicates three critical insights that every stakeholder in the financial sector should consider. First, timing is everything. While Google's Willow chip represents a significant breakthrough, we're still years away from quantum computers that could break current cryptographic systems. The study suggests a window of 10 to 20 years before quantum computers become a serious threat to current encryption methods. This isn't a reason to relax, it's an opportunity to prepare. Second, the financial sector needs to adopt what I call a quantum-ready mindset. This means developing both defensive and offensive strategies. On the defensive side, institutions need to start implementing quantum-resistant cryptography. On the offensive side, they should explore how quantum computing could transform their operations from risk assessment to fraud detection. It's like learning to play chess. You need to think about both protection and position. Third, and this is perhaps the most actionable insight from my study, the winners in the quantum age will be those who prepare now. We're seeing forward-thinking institutions already investing in quantum research and development. The global market for quantum technologies is expected to reach $65 billion by 2030 with an annual growth rate of 56%. These aren't just numbers, they represent an approximation of real opportunities for those who position themselves correctly. For our listeners in traditional finance, the study suggests starting with an audit of your cryptographic vulnerabilities. For those in the crypto space, look for projects implementing quantum-resistant algorithms. In particular, trigger the Bitcoin community to also implement quantum resistant algorithms. And for investors, consider the emerging quantum computing sector as a potential addition to your portfolio, but do your due diligence, as not all quantum claims are created equal. The roadmap outlined in the study isn't just theoretical. It's a practical guide for navigating what we call the quantum transition. Whether you're a bank executive, a crypto developer, or an institutional investor, understanding this transition will be crucial for your success in the coming decade when it comes to quantum. That's all for this episode of BFRR. You can find my complete fairy study on quantum computing impact on finance in the show notes. Remember to like, subscribe, and share if you found this useful. Until the next time, this is Michael Blaschke, and you've been listening to Bitcoin, Fiat, and Rock and Roll.
The views expressed are solely the personal opinions of the hosts and are provided for informational purposes only. This podcast does not offer financial or investment advice. Always conduct your own research and make well-informed decisions before investing. Please be aware that the hosts and guests may hold cryptocurrencies or digital assets discussed in this episode.